peaking.
Jimmy, you need a and a bar. So when we're doing this podcast, Dad's going to help me grab your sister and clean her face to get rid of the shit around her eyes.
Yeah, I've got one day off for 14 days, so I did have some other things planned for today.
Well, you can do your other things after you help me do these things.
The dogs.
Yeah, so after
Evie's got a tennis ball.
Oh, hello. After, yeah, so you can just help me with those things and then you can do whatever you want.
Okay, Mum.
Oh, God, here he is. Mate, you're such a boomer. Boomers love to stick to time. They love it. They can't just be easy breezy.
No, Kelly.
No, Damien.
The reason why I like to stick to time when it comes to recording this podcast, that if we leave it up to you, we don't record
for four months. I'm a boomer boom. Boomer, boomer, boomer. I mean, how am I supposed to do anything here? I got Jimmy on my lap. I got one of them bringing me a ball. Hello, baby.
Where have we been?
Where have we been? Where have we been? Do we even know? La, 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 la.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have we done a record since we've been in the new house?
I don't know. Maybe one or two.
Oh, has it been that long?
Or maybe zero. It's been a long time.
It's been a long day. Something.
I thought we'd stop doing it. I was too afraid to bring it up with Kelly because she beats me when I.
Shut up, idiot!
I was like, shut up, babe. I just want to talk to you about the podcast.
The recording's
and she's like,
over.
Get the fuck out of my office! And then she throws a tumbler of whiskey at me.
Jimmy, Dad's lying. I think that we just had because, like, you work. Weekends a lot as well, and it's just really hard to. That's what she said. It's just really hard to get things going on the weekends, and we've had stuff going. And geez, Jimmy Chocolate Chip is going through a every like 2 months or so he goes through a shedding phase,
mm-hmm.
and it's happening right now. And I have his hair in my mouth and my nose. It's just fucking everywhere.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We need to bath him so that hair. It's in like the mic. Like it's just, you can't escape it. But for ages, he was really good.
Mm. Well, the dogs are good. We have Evie's still here. She's going to be a foster fowl. Evie was, what breed is she? Like a little
toy poodle crossed with a cavalier.
Yeah.
She's a little baby cute.
She's very cute. And she's part
a putana.
She's part of the family now. Brutto.
Brutto putana. He gave putana.
I was watching 8.5 during the week by Fellini because that's the kind of guy I am.
Fucking wanker.
And I pretty much taught myself Italian by watching that film. So here's a couple. Buongiorno, signore.
That means death to Satan.
Yeah. And brutto. Which means ugly. I've got a tiny penis.
I like your because every time I swear in Italian in this house,
mm-hmm.
I like that. It's funny because I didn't realize this growing up, but when I describe what words are in English, it's never just the word, unless it's like really like fangulo is like fuck and stuff.
Yeah,
but there are a lot of
and
swear
fuck
words.
Means sex.
And it's like there's a lot of swear words in Italian where it's not exactly the swear word. And so when I translate it in English to Damien, I heard myself going, oh, yeah, that's really funny. Because it's never – so there was one – like there's one that's like, Di Cristo. And what's that? And I was like, oh, it kind of means like God, like Jesus, God, mm-hmm. but God's a pig. Like it's blasphemous.
Yeah.
Like it's not just like saying, oh, God. Oh, Di Cristo, you know?
Yeah.
It's like God's a pig. You got to add it on. And then like Putana's like, she's a slut, but she's like an ugly slut.
There's more levels to.
Yeah, more levels of what
you
things
know,
mean.
The Celtic Anglo way of swearing is very basic, which is not surprising. You know, my people, Scottish Irish people, we're pretty to the point, right? So cunt means, well, it means vagina, but really it means. You're an asshole, or blah, blah. But Italian swear words have these long, mythical meanings. You know what I mean? Mm. Where it's like, it means you're the son of a pig of God that's born of the shit of the devil. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty fun swearing. I remember when I was
anyway. I speak Italian now because of Fellini.
I remember watching Grease growing up. In look at me. I'm Sandra Dee.
Yeah.
And RZA goes, "Hey, Fongo, I'm Sandra Dee."
Yeah.
That we used to laugh and laugh and laugh. Do you reckon that was in the script, or do you reckon that Stockard Channing just added that at that point in time?
I think it's probably in the script.
Should I just look it up real quick?
Yeah, why not? Okay. So, listen, this is supposedly a film and TV podcast. We've had many kind of iterations. Basically, now we just talk about whatever we've watched during the week, but we have had like a 4 or 5 month break, so I think this is probably going to be a little bit all over the place. Although Cal pretty much says the same thing every time because there's 4 TV shows that she watches and they're just on a loop. So at the moment, it's X-Files. Oh, Evie's here.
Okay, so have you pressed record again?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right, I have something for you. No, the word fangul is not in the script of the movie Grease. While the movie does include Italian phrases and slang, fangul is not one of them. The word fangul is often associated with Italian-American community, but it does not appear in the script of Grease. So... did she just add it? Why does Rizzo say fungal? It is an Americanized version of Italian profanity. Yes, we know that. So here it says, this literally means go do it in an ass. And it's similar to the English phrase of fuck you. Isn't that just perfect? Like it's not like fungal, fuck. It is. It's not, fungal is not fuck you. It is go do it in an ass.
Yeah.
Like it just can't be.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Italian swear words are great. But anyway, so.
And there's also the other one, often shortened to vaffanculo or just fangulo. Vaffanculo. That's so good. Can I help you?
No, okay. What have you been watching?
Aren't you going to do your little intro?
This is, should we just watch it real quick, the only podcast in the world that has a tiny little dog yapping throughout the whole episode. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 117 years of canine school to be upstaged by a puppy, and thank you very much. And in the blue corner, it's the, what do I call you? It's the Italian Galden. It's the rage from Sicily, the Sicilian hurricane.
Sicilian. Or a quarter.
Kelly, big whoop. Want to fight about it for Stuka?
Yes, hello. Welcome back, everybody.
Yes, hello.
Welcome back to the GABA.
Welcome back to the
SCG. Welcome back to the SCG. Where we are. Down under in Australia. Yeah, so.
Why doesn't Billy Birmingham do 12th man stuff anymore? I suppose because all those guys are dead.
Well, pretty racist too.
Yeah, you can drop back all the racist stuff. Or is he just like, nah, that's all I've got.
It's either racism or nothing. Racism or bust.
To be fair to Billy Birmingham, in comparison to other comedy in the 80s, it's pretty tame. Like compared to Ostentatious, Kevin Bloody Wilson, like all those bogan comedians.
What was the – I don't think it's Kevin Bloody Wilson, but what was the guy – I remember this is pretty rough. Oh, yeah. Mate, we're going to get cancelled. But we had a cassette tape that someone had taped off a person. Because there wasn't – Kevin Bloody Wilson wasn't the only one. There was another one.
There's Kevin Bloody Wilson and
– and he has a whole song about a guy fucking a horse.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right? And as kids, we would listen to it being like – Kevin Bloody
Wilson and
and he does – your mum's so fat jokes as well, where he'd be like, your mum's so fat, they'd show home movies on her undies. She's so lazy, she's shit in bed, kick it out with her foot.
Fucking hell. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yes.
I cannot. There was Ostentatious, yeah. Kevin Bloody Wilson.
Yeah.
And there was a third one. He wore an Akubra, right?
Yeah. And
he was always like,
yeah. And the listeners are going wild. They're screaming the answer.
I don't think they are. I think most people are like, I think most people who listen to us had good, honest, eastern suburban upbringings, and they
weren't. Mate, guys out there listening, you don't know.
They didn't have to live in the fucking hood like we did and listen to Kevin Bloody Wilson.
You guys
Fuck, it was right on the tip of my tongue.
You guys out there don't know how sheltered you are now. You don't know. Growing up, we were fucking thrown in.
You could be like 8 years old listening to like these comedy albums that were just
I still remember the words to it.
Full homophobia, full racism.
Yeah. Like the this one here in particular, like the horse fucking one.
The psycho that you were friends with at primary school, their older brother's playing it too, like
like, could you imagine some people today listening to this now going, yeah, this is what we had to listen to growing up.
The uproar if Kevin Bloody Wilson
put it. You guys are sheltered. You're sheltered from the shit that we had to listen to. Which is
a good thing. It's a good thing. But you consider the uproar when Chappelle did his last special, which I 100% agree with, by the way. It was gross and disgusting. You can go back and listen to our episode where we reviewed the – where we were like, we watched 7 minutes of it and turned it off. But in comparison to these guys, you know what I mean?
Can I just go – I'm trying to find out who the other guy is, but in the meantime, I've got the song list of Kevin Bloody Wilson, which includes some bangers such as Absolute Cunt of a Day. It's on the 2002 album.
2002? Yeah.
You Can't Say Cunt in Canada. Mick the Master Farter.
Yeah.
That's Mick, from that's 85. That's a vintage collection.
That's his hit.
And then there's Dick to Phone, also from the 85 collection.
Oh, my God.
This one here, no swearing in the title, but I'm intrigued. The Greek Wedding.
Oh, my God.
Mate, the Pubic Hair Song, mate. 85, again, 85. That was a place.
The pubic
ho, hair. Ho, ho, fucking ho.
Dude. Yeah, because that song is like, hey, Santa, where's me fucking bike?
That's ho, fucking ho, my mum's a fucking truckie.
Serious. That's the first line of the chorus of the song.
I'm trying, mate, keep talking because I need to find out who this other guy was.
Yeah, so like, I'll just put this on the record. My parents did not play any of this stuff in the house. They'd be mortified if I even knew who these guys were. But when you grow up in an area like Broadie or Werribee or Frankston or Melton or places like that, there's always a psycho in your friend group and they always have older brothers or sisters and they're the ones that will play this stuff to you.
Ugh.
And if I'm being really honest, I fucking hated it. I always felt gross and weird listening to it. The 12th Man felt kind of like yes, there is definitely racist fun made of people. Racist fun, the whole game the family can play.
Yeah.
There's definitely, you know, dumb jokes made around like Sri Lankan and Pakistani players' names. But outside, like, and that's gross, but outside of that, it's, you know, I don't think it's too bad, even still.
Yeah, I
but
think it's
these guys, these were like, they didn't give a fuck. This is the more racist they could be, the better. God, I can only imagine what fucking...
Oh, no, sorry, everyone.
Okay. All right, apologies for the... Yeah, apologies for the puppy.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes,
I got the answer.
Yes.
Shut up, idiot. Rodney Rude.
Rodney Rude. How the hell did I forget Rodney Rude?
Such bangers as KFC Killed My Uncle. Man, that's, oh my God. I can't, one of the titles of his song, I can't even say it on this podcast.
Yeah, well, don't then.
No, I'll just spell it. The word is B-O-O-G-A.
No, no.
From.
No, don't, please don't say it on the podcast.
I'm pointing it out. This is how bad it was.
Yeah, okay. I think everyone can understand. Cal, you got to stop saying these words on the podcast.
I didn't say it. I spelt it just so everyone knows how bad it is.
Yeah, okay. Keep going.
So the horse song I remember is called Well Hung Plowboy. He's a well hung plowboy.
Fuck. Oh, yeah. And so he didn't even write his own song. He's just doing like Weird Al Yankovic.
Like... Asked like an anaconda swallowing a piglet. What the hell is that? Oh, I hate cats. That's a bit more mild. Oh, another mild one. Ronald McDonald doesn't even eat his own hamburgers. But then the rest of it, it's like that. It's like Ronald McDonald doesn't eat his own hamburgers or just racism. Oh, here's one I can read out. Pavarotti breaks the toilet.
Jesus Christ.
And you know what else? That was in 2004. That was like after he died. And then there's also bits where he heckles people. So one of them's called Rodney Rood Heckles a Hunchback.
Oh, my God.
Rood blows a fart through a plastic tube in a taxi. Oh. Mate, this guy's awful. Oh, God, he's awful. Mate, I wouldn't – yeah, mate, this is crazy. And he's on Hey 8 Saturday. Mate, on Hey 8 Saturday. Oh, he's on Spotify, mate. Shall we?
No.
No?
No. Please do not play Rodney Rood on the podcast.
But, geez, Bill Birmingham and the 12th Man was good back in its day, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. In comparison to that shit.
Yeah, it's pretty tame.
It's pretty soft.
It's pretty tame. But
I have to apologize for Evie in the background. We are really going but through.
We can't yell at her because – we can't yell at her when she barks because we have to acknowledge that it's no big deal and that she'll grow out of it and just – you know what I mean?
Yeah, Cal took her to the vet yesterday, and so these are the vet's orders of like,
yeah,
because she's been manically barking out the window, and we've done supposedly everything that we were doing
was really wrong because we were yelling at her.
We would yell at her, and then we'd try and give her chicken, and then we'd like pick her up and give her a hug. What's wrong? What's wrong? It's like everything that we were doing was completely the opposite of what the vet told us to do, which is just to ignore it. But that also means we don't sleep. We can't record podcasts. Yeah. We can't watch television.
Because she'll grow out. Because they were like, the more you make a big deal of it, the more she feels like she's doing the right thing by barking at nothing.
Yeah, because she's trying to protect.
Yeah, and she's scared. She's anxious.
Yeah, and she's scared.
But that's all right. But even now I notice like none of us have yelled at her and she's kind of just gone into her quieter bark, which is a buff, buff bark.
Mm.
So that's good. What a tangent to go on. The comedy escapades of musical style comedy from the 80s.
It's interesting that America, I mean, I'm sure they probably existed, but I don't know who the American versions of Rodney Rood and.
I'm sure that in the Bible Belt and stuff, guys, you remember those guys like Larry the Cable Guy and stuff?
Yeah, but that was later. That was like post, I feel like he got famous post 9/11.
I'm sure that there's some road dogs. Absolute road dogs that go around and do, you know, the Chuckle Hut in Poughkeepsie.
Yeah.
And then does, you know, the Laugh Vag in fucking Deloin.
Yeah.
And then that they're there, like those guys. But I will say this, as someone who's done comedy in New York City, musical comedy is frowned upon as stand-up. It is
good.
Musical. So when we talk about people like, you know.
Is that why Marc Maron was such an asshole to Bo Burnham on The Green Room?
I will absolutely say yes. That's 100% right. Because when you look at comedy in the States, comedy is you MC, you feature, and then you headline. And that's how it is. And then some shows do, you know, lineup shows, like The Cellar has lineup shows, but then the Flatback, they'll do, you know, MC, feature, and then some will headline for 45 minutes or whatever. Not all the time, but whatever. But when you're looking at people on the road, Friday, Saturday nights, and traveling around, road dog, that is headliner.
Yeah.
And you don't get any headliners. I'm sure they're out there. I never fucking saw them.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you one that they don't do music.
How did Bo Burnham get
here's the
famous
thing.
Then? Because he's a handsome kid.
Well, here's the thing. Anyone who did do music, they were all in that kind of – in the UCB area. They were in the artsy area.
Right.
But the actual road dogs doing the stores
and so
the
you
improvs,
couldn't walk into the cellar with a fucking keyboard under your arm?
No. Right, no, okay. No, never. You couldn't. So I don't know how
he. So you'd be at UCB and like.
That's where he would be refining himself.
What's the place
himself?
That they all fucking do stuff in LA that they talk about?
Like Groundlings?
Yeah, yeah. But there's an actual theater that they all fucking. Largo.
Oh, yeah, Largo. Yeah. Right. So places like. And then in New York, the equivalent was Whiplash back in the day.
Right.
So those shows there. They would 100% love and nurture musical.
The equivalent in Oz would be you wouldn't be allowed to play the comedy festival, but you could play at the Fringe sort of thing.
No. The equivalent I would say, sorry, that was a hard no, but would be that you couldn't do the musical stuff at basement comedy, but you could do it at the local. Janet.
Right.
Right. You couldn't do musical like Comics Lounge, but you could do it at Comedy Republic.
Right, right.
So Comedy Republic and the local with Janet, they are like, let's go. And they have always people like Josh Earl, because Josh Earl is beautiful human, really funny, and I am always been a musical comedy guy, and in the later years did a lot more straight stand-up as well, but would mix it, but just was like, you know, just the way that he was, you know, kind of, I guess, what he was working or whatever, but always, you know, always known as a musical guy and blah, blah, blah. Someone like him, places like, you know, Janet and stuff, they nurtured him because they were rooms that he could do his stuff in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And growing up, so before I went to America, I knew Josh, and there's other people like Josh, but he just stands out because he's the best one, and he's just also a brilliantly beautiful human. Like for me, it was just like old hat. Like I would be on normal lineups with a guy with a guitar or a guy with a keyboard. It was so normal, but in America, it was so unheard of. So someone like Bo Burnham getting big, I imagine what happened is that he did hours, so he did festivals.
Yeah.
So
probably places, socials as well,
like
right?
Tim Mitchum, they like people like him go to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And they do big in Edinburgh, and I think that's I feel but like
Bo
that's,
Burnham created a. I think this is coming from the dark recesses of my mind. Didn't he get a big following on socials as well? Because I feel like
I feel like
spoken about on that Green Room episode
because they would have hated
Mark's
him.
Mark's really aggressive towards him.
I
think Colin, what's his face? SNL dude, Colin, aggressive New York dude. Come
Colin
on.
Colin Quinn?
Yeah, I think he's on that episode as well. And he's not as big a prick to Bo as.
No, because Colin Quinn is universally known as one of the beautiful, most brilliant, sweet guys in comedy.
Mark is definitely.
He's got a chip
on
his shoulder.
This is Mark Maron that we're talking about, right? Yeah. He is definitely like an old school protector of stand-up and like what it means, and it's an art form. I mean, he had a stand-up argument with Jerry Seinfeld on his podcast about it, where Jerry was like, it's just, you know, you'd write some jokes. Like, because Jerry's whole thing is like, just write jokes. It doesn't matter. And Mark's like, no, it's an art form. You got to be Carlin and Hicks and blah, blah. And Jerry's like, nah, just jokes.
But Mark's got a lot of anger and stuff, though. But I feel like someone like Bo, he would have done, this happened to Tim Mitchum. He couldn't get anywhere in Australia. And then he did a festival show in Edinburgh.
Yeah, I watched the documentary.
And
about
then that,
that,
you know, and so I feel like someone like Bo, that would have happened as well. Like, the. It wasn't cutting your teeth doing musical in rooms. It was more that your show made you able to do that in rooms because no one would take chances of you. Yeah.
Musical but he also theater, got famous when he was like 15, 16 years old.
I mean,
right?
that inside doco stand up.
No, it's a stand-up special.
The first time I watched that, I was like, this is fucking brilliant.
I watched it 3 weeks ago and we talked about it a lot.
Brilliant.
We might as well talk about it on the podcast now.
I just can't remember it.
Well, I mean, we don't have to talk about specific bits.
We can just say
how good it was. Well, you loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it's interesting because I went online. I feel like I always have opinions that are wrong or the opposite of everybody else. And then I go online to see what people are saying. And the people who didn't like the special were like, oh, the music is bad and this and that. I didn't think that at all. Like,
no, it's fantastic.
I thought
it's brilliant.
He should write a fucking musical. Like, he's a really good songwriter. And he's like engaging and you like him. I liked him.
Yeah.
You know,
I like his moral compass.
I would, yes. And especially early on, there's a few laughs that I got. And then it sort of spirals into like someone having essentially a nervous breakdown because of the pandemic. Me being selfish and inserting myself in every piece of art that I watch, I'm not just watching it because of like, I'm not like, oh, this person's really going through it. Especially with the pandemic and the lockdown, I'm really, really, really militant about it being good. Like, it was, and when I look back on it, that's probably a bit selfish for me because I'd just gotten sober and I think it really helped me to stay sober because I was on my own working on myself. I was doing therapy. I learned how to cook. I learned how to play guitar better.
But other people, the opposite, made them drink more.
Well, what I've found out now is I'm autistic. Yeah. And so it was, of course, it fucking was the perfect thing for me. I didn't have to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
But I could still complete social contracts with people without leaving the house. I mean, I was working from home.
Yeah.
I was going to people's nightclubs from home. I was watching people's comedy from home. It was fucking perfect. I need to be a little less militant on other people about that, but I my hackles get up because there was so much politicization of lockdowns and stuff. And there is a part of me that watching this that's like, oh, millionaire comedian is having a bit of a sook about being locked in his big house.
I feel I feel like when it comes to lockdown stuff, like at the time I was living with Seals, and I, you know, someone like Seals who makes her bread and butter performing, who can't do her job when the lockdowns are on, so then therefore they're losing, you know, money to pay the mortgage, right? In that aspect, I understand, and you know what I mean? Like, and she's like one of, you know, a lot of people, and but also it was like, you know, had to be really clever and savvy about, all right, how do I make money? Is it voiceovers, blah, blah? Because, you know, I was still able to work from home, but she had no money coming in, and then had to, you know, figure out a way to do stuff. And then there's also people who are very extroverted who they got massive depression being alone, massive depression. Someone like me and you, I really liked it because I feel like I felt so exhausted from having to, you know, not perform but like show up all the time, that when I was told you don't have a choice, I felt like there was an escapism with lockdowns that really worked for me, and I know it really worked for you, where there's an obligation in life to do all this stuff. And then when it got taken away, I actually really liked the lockdowns because I didn't have to. It was a really good reason to not do anything. And if anything, it was bad for my escapism because I don't face my problems head on. I try and run away from them. And I think that lockdown was good for that because it made me not face any problems. It made me just I don't have a choice.
No,
this
I think it was the absolute opposite for me. I had no choice but to fucking face up to everything that was going on in my head.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because it was completely on my own.
Yeah.
And I was getting sober, and I was like trying to work out what was wrong with my brain. Turns out autism.
But we liked, But I liked being on my own.
But the other thing for me as well with that is that it was very apparent very quickly how much the vast majority of things in life were utter bullshit and didn't need to exist.
Yeah.
And the minute we had the opportunity to go straight back to where we were, we did. Oh, and it's so fucking depressing to me.
I know, yeah.
You know,
yeah, the work from home debate and makes me really upset.
I can't have that conversation on a Sunday morning without just getting. What I will say, in 20 years' time, people will look back at the opportunity we had coming out of the pandemic and going straight back. And it's none of us listening to this podcast, making this podcast, make these choices, but being forced to go back into the office, that they'll look at it like smoking inside or driving seatbelts, driving cars without a seatbelt, or it'll be our kids and grandkids will look at every single person in a city all driving to the middle of a city to fucking work in an office. They just will not understand. It'll just be the dumbest fucking thing. Like,
everyone's an idiot. Anyway.
And then you have people who, like, what I can't stand are the bootlickers in fucking offices who are like, I actually really love it. It's great. You get to come in and see everybody.
I hate it. I don't want to look at anyone.
But anyway, I think maybe I would have had a different opinion of watching Inside if I had watched it during the pandemic. But watching it 3 years after the pandemic, if I'm being really brutal and really honest, I actually found it a bit embarrassing.
Why?
It's like, because it wasn't that big a deal. Dude, really isn't that big a deal for you to have that
him,
much of a fucking
for you it wasn't but for him it was
I that's what I would say to him. Like, when you watch that now, do you feel embarrassed?
But that's how he felt.
Yeah, and that's fine, but I just think it's a bad. Sorry.
It was brilliant. Just but the fact that he did it all himself, like setting up the light.
He's also
like,
a film director. When people talk about that, he's directed films.
Yeah,
as
he's
well.
Talented. So he's talented.
So he knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's
doing.
But
people talked about it like he was some idiot who'd never picked up a camera before.
Yeah, but because we didn't know that he was capable. And but
he
like,
made films. He directed films before that.
I don't give a fuck about the films because he's got 1,000 people there helping him with lighting and mise en scène and camera cinematography. He's on his own setting up lighting. Like setting up the microphone, setting up mood, like it deserves a lot more credit than you're giving it. I thought it was groundbreaking.
It's a comedy special. And I didn't really laugh much.
It was as a piece of art, because you always talk about art, wanker. As a piece of art, it was incredible.
I think it's an interesting slice of life. From that time of how selfish most people were when it came to the pandemic.
Fine. Still good. It's still good. Yeah. It's still good.
You know what is good? Superman.
Do we have the time to talk about Superman today?
I just want people to go watch it. I heard yesterday that DC is going to release it to home theater in like 3 weeks' time.
Oh, great.
The dumbest fucking...
Yeah. Oh,
they're making so much money. They're making people are going and watch it. I want to go watch it again. Like,
but some people do want to go, like going to the movies. And I say that you're someone who's like this, and I think Collar is someone like this as well, where you got to go watch it in the movies. Like we watch Jurassic Park here, and it may have been a movie. It may have been a movie that I would have watched in the movies. Because I can imagine watching stuff like that in the movies.
It might have been a bit more fun in the cinema.
Yeah, I feel like I have had conversations with people in the past and it probably is Collar, where he's like, no, 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 I'm going to watch it in the movies. Because there is stuff that means more. I went and watched, we're back on Grease again, but they put Grease back in the cinemas on like a 30-year anniversary. And I went and watched it and it was... so good. The Goonies I've done, Raging Bull. There is something about going to the movies.
Watching old movies, like I watched A Hard Day's Night at the Astor and it was amazing.
If
was
Village
like
or
Blues Brothers.
Village or Hoyts are listening.
They do it all the time.
Right? Do they?
Yep.
They re-release old films to play in mainstream cinemas. I've never seen that.
Definitely. It doesn't happen as much as it doesn't happen as much as Palace. Palace do it all the time. So like Nova and Pentridge. These are all cinemas in Melbourne for anyone listening outside of Melbourne. But they do it.
I would say now, movies like the original Jurassic Park, Superman, Star Wars, put them in the fucking cinema.
Yeah.
I would 100%.
Werribee had, sorry to talk over the topic, Werribee had Revenge of the Sith. The 20-year anniversary they were showing it for like 2 weeks.
They should do it more. They should do it like, remember those big posters you'd get from the Astor where they would have like the year, what they would have booked
in? Yeah, yeah.
They should have it where it's like every like, I don't know, if it's a Tuesday, well, that's Tight Ass Tuesday maybe. And I guess you can't do Friday.
Tight Ass Tuesday's back.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, $10 movie tickets for Village and Hoyts on Tuesdays.
Like, I don't know when you do it because Fridays and Saturday, Sundays, I guess, is for kids and people, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like every like, you know, second weekend or third weekend or on a Sunday or something that during the week, like why wouldn't you just put on old movies?
Mate, I'd watch anything at the cinema. I fucking
Terminator,
love going to the movies.
Do you know, if they
I
had Terminator 2 at the movies, I would 100% go watch that. Rocky, stuff like that.
I think every film is better at the movies. Like I went and saw Anora with our mate Nick, before Christmas, saw Kneecap at the cinema as well with Nick before Christmas. And having seen both of those films on the big screen with an audience, like a full cinema.
I would agree, audience.
Well, but it makes a difference.
Yeah.
Like it really does. Yeah. And saw Fantastic Four on last Sunday as well with a large audience, which was interesting because the audience basically didn't make a sound for the whole movie because the film
That film looks so
not
bad.
Good.
You knew that film was going to be bad. I
didn't. I actually didn't. I thought the casting was great. The set. Can I give a very quick review of Fantastic Four? What the design of the film is fantastic. it looks like Jack Kirby and Stan Lee's original Fantastic Four books, and so that's amazing. I think the people, the actors who are cast as the Fantastic Four were cast well. They haven't been given a good script. I don't think it was directed particularly well. It feels rushed. They only announced the cast like 11 months ago, or 12 months ago, which means they announced the cast, unless they'd already done pre-production stuff, but they announced the cast, did pre-production, shot, and post-production in less than 12 months. And that's what it felt like. I won't talk about my particular problems with the plot because it's still in the cinemas and stuff, so if you want to go see it, go see it. But I just think it was hugely... Marvel are... I don't know. It might be... We could be getting towards the end of the MCU.
Good. How many grumps? One?
I would give it 1.5 grumps. I'd give Superman 4.5. I really loved it. I hate to be this guy of like, this is the film we need now. But like to be able to... I saw Kevin Smith talking about this. He dragged his wife to see it. His wife loved it. And she was like, I'm so devoid of hope.
With these films.
And no. In general, in life. Yeah. And she was like, because she was crying at the end of the movie. And she was like talking to Kevin on the way home. And she was like, I'm so devoid of hope in everyday life. This film actually gave me
That's nice.
That feeling.
That's
you know?
Nice. That's good.
It's amazing. The cast is amazing.
Yeah, I'll go see Superman. That sounds really good.
Yeah, you sound so excited.
I will. But I want you, yesterday I texted Damien something and he didn't respond. And because I've been rewatching The X-Files, which is still good, still amazing. If you don't know what The X-Files is, I have a poster in my house, that same one that Mulder had in his office, saying, I want to believe, with the picture of an UFO. And I've pointed
it
out.
It's in our kitchen.
It's in the kitchen. I pointed it out to people. And a lot of people are like, what's that from? And I'm like, it's from The X-Files. Get out of my house. It's so good. Anyway, the next episode of The X-Files coming up, they do a cops, you know, bad boys, bad boys. And it's a cops episode with Mulder and Scully. And I stopped it because I literally am going to beg Damien to watch it with
me. I'll watch it with you.
Okay. All right. That's good. All right. I reckon the battery might be running out
soon.
Yeah,
we're pretty close to the end. But
anyway, I need to go to the toilet.
We're going to do, when it's time for Cal to potty, it's time to end the potty. Thanks for anyone who's listening.
Thanks for coming back.
Anyone who's listening to this, thanks for holding out. Hope we're going to do more of this. I want to try and do it weekly or at least fortnightly. So just subscribe or follow us in your pod player and the episodes will just drop. And we love you very much.
We love you very much. Thanks, guys. I've got to go. Bye. I love you. Bye.